Hey, this is Dylan, and you're listening to Everybody Hurts, the podcast. Today's episode, Kelly Green and Gold. Katie Kelly is an Australian triathlete who was diagnosed in her mid-20s with a degenerative disease known as Usher syndrome, which affects both hearing and vision. Despite the diagnosis, Katie became an avid runner and multi-sport athlete, competing in the New York Marathon and several Ironman events. And by 2015, her condition had deteriorated and declared legally blind in 2015, just a few months shy of her 40th birthday. Kelly contacted the Australian Paralympic Committee regarding her eligibility to compete in paratriathlon as a vision-impaired paratriathlete. 3 months later, she won her first ITU event, and in the short time since she joined the elite ranks, she's garnered an impressive palmarès, including gold medals at the 2015 ITU World Championships and most recently in the 2016 Rio Paralympics. She's currently ranked 13th in the world. Katie, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Dylan. Thank you. Great to be here.
First of all, congratulations on your gold medal.
It wasn't bad. You know, it's one of those days that I just remember very clearly all the emotions and the feeling. And crossing that finish line, it was just an extraordinary moment to do that with McKeely Jones as well.
And the 2016 Rio Paralympics, it wasn't just your first Olympics, but it was the first time that the triathlon has ever been included in the Paralympics. So how does it feel to be the first gold medal winner of that event?
It's just truly a great honour. You know, like you say, Power Triathlon debuted at Rio. It was a great moment for the sport of triathlon, where it made its debut at the Olympics in 2000, and then 16 years later to have the para version there at Rio at Copacabana Beach. And they didn't have all the classifications. They had 3 out of the 5 for the men's and women. Lucky for me, one of them was the vision impaired PT5. But from a spectator point of view, it really is such a fantastic event to watch when you see para athletes, para triathletes that might be in a wheelchair, that might be amputee, or that might be vision impaired, and doing that across a swim, a bike, and a run, and you know, all the logistics that come with that. So it's tremendous for the sport to have put together this para tri version of it, and it's just going to grow. And I think a lot of athletes really love the appeal of that, you know, multidisciplinary type sport. And and it was just a fantastic celebration.
Yeah, how do you think that accomplishment resonates with younger athletes who may have similar physical challenges? Because, you know, whether you like it or not, now you're in a position of being a role model for an entire generation of athletes in the way that perhaps maybe your generation didn't have similar role models.
Oh, exactly right. I mean, it's just been extraordinary. And McKeely Jones always said to me, a gold medal will change your life. And you know, I mean that in the sense of the impact it has on people who are following your story. And the kids that I've met, and there was one particular girl in Australia, in Sydney, who's lost her eyesight at 9, and she loves to run. And I met up with her, and she just knew all about McKeely and I, and she wanted to know about tethers, and she wanted to know what it's like to have a guide. And you know, I just had goosebumps being with her, how much involved she was in what we were doing. So it's fantastic, because someone like that is feeling very isolated, and, you know, something so significant like your eyesight's been removed at such a young age. And so it just gives her, you know, a drive and a motivation to go. She can still do all the things that she loves to do, and that's what the Paralympics really does.
And that's obviously something that you're personally very, very passionate about. I know that you were working on setting up a foundation called Sports Access, which was focusing on kind of removing those barriers for children to get involved in sports and in athletic pursuits.
Exactly, yes. I'm very grateful, I guess, for the opportunities that have been afforded to me. You know, I started at the para tri, I guess, more of a mature age athlete, but certainly what I'd love to see is more younger kids with disabilities getting involved in Sport Access. We're doing a soft launch in February at a famous swim here in Sydney. It's called North Bondi Rough Water, and it really is a bit rough. And we're really excited with the website's getting launched. And basically we'll provide grants for kids with disability to play sport, whether they need services or equipment.
So when you learned of your diagnosis, it seemed like it could have gone one of two ways. And instead of sinking into depression or resigning yourself to what your supposed limits were going to be, it seemed to have had the opposite effect. So, I mean, like I said in the introduction, the first thing you did when you learned that you were being designated legally blind was to call the Australian triathlon governing body and ask if you could race. What is it about you or your outlook that made you take what for many could be considered a tremendous obstacle and turn that into an opportunity?
I guess, Dylan, for me, you only get one shot in this life. And, I think that I have an extraordinary life in terms of the many aspects that come with that, with my family, friends, my work. And so for me, it's just about, well, there's opportunities around all of us, and it's a case of how we look for those opportunities and make the most of whatever our situation is, because, you know, certainly where I am, I've a very privileged life. And so, you know, being somebody who just loves to participate in anything involved in running, swimming or riding, it was a case of, well, how can I continue doing what I love doing?
You were an athlete before. Like I said, you participated in, you were a runner, and then you got into kind of a multi-sport and Ironman events. But how did your condition and also the nature of its progression, because this being something that kind of progressively starts to affect your hearing and your vision, how did that affect your approach to your training or to kind of your goals as an athlete? Was there a sense of urgency at all?
Yeah, having a condition like Usher syndrome, it is a degenerative condition, and your eyes and hearing, eyesight and hearing deteriorates over time. So for me, since my mid-20s, particularly my eyesight deteriorated, my hearing sort of stable. So I had to modify over time how I train and what I can do. So for example, with my triathlon squad, you know, a lot of triathletes train before sunrise and sort of on sunset. So I'll spend more time doing, say, wind trainer sessions on the bike over the years, as my ability to ride in packs has been limited or to ride in sort of darker conditions. And likewise with running, for example, they do a fantastic run here in Newcastle, New South Wales, through the bush and trail running, and things like that over time I just haven't been able to do. So when it came to me doing my first Ironman in Port Macquarie in 2013, I was able to do the swim by myself and the ride. My eyesight was such that I could still do that, and this is, I'm talking, say, about 5 years ago. But being a 12-hour type Ironman, so by the time my marathon run started, it was starting on sunset. So I had my coach guide me through that, and that was the first time I ever used a guide. And, for example, another great run I did was the Alice Springs Marathon in the Outback. It's fantastic. It's just in the desert. And it started at 6 a.m. pitch black, and I just had a runner for the first hour, and then I was fine to go by myself. And the poor girl was stuck out in the middle of nowhere. She had to run back to the start line. So I've been very fortunate, and I think this is a great message for everyone is, I've had a lot of people who sort of help make things possible, give me lifts to training and, maybe modify some training time so that occasionally I can do a squad bike session and so on. So that's the thing that I'm really grateful for, is the support you get from other people. And so now my eyesight's at the point where I can still run by myself in certain conditions and ride, but it's very limited and, it has to be safe and so on. So that's where increasingly I'm either doing more indoor training or I'm more relying on now on a guide.
Talk a little bit about that, because you mentioned McKaylee Jones a little bit earlier. And for our listeners who don't kind of know, for vision impaired athletes and triathletes in particular, you race with a guide. So during the swim, I assume they're tethered to you?
Exactly right. Yes, during the swim, tethered. It's about a meter long, and we put that, clip that around our thigh, upper leg, and then the tandem bike, obviously she's driving that, and my head is down, and it's really about minimizing movement, and she certainly cut those corners pretty sharply. And then on the run, we've got another tether that links to our race belt, so we run side by side, and then I grab her elbow as I need to, or she'll help me, for example, getting out of the water, which she's allowed to do. So having a guide, it really is a team effort, and you need good communication, and I think just a good understanding and respect for each other. And McKeely and I certainly have that, and she's just been tremendous in her support and her patience. Obviously, being an elite athlete, she's sort of been through the process, whereas for me, it was all very new. So, but we had a lot of fun, and she always reminds me, you know, just to enjoy it. And so it's just been great to have her, as a great friend and mentor as well.
And for those who don't know, I mean, McKeely Jones, she is Olympic medalist in her own right. So you kind of lucked out in that regard in terms of getting a guide that was in a position to one, kind of know the kind of pressure and the kind of preparation that an Olympic event requires and kind of demands. But also, I assume that there was like a motivational component. I mean, do you push yourself harder by yourself or with a guide, because you were an athlete in your own right, and now competing and training with McKaylee as a guide, I assume that there's a kind of a motivational component there.
Yeah, like you say, you know, how well did I do to land myself a guide who's been there and done it all? First Australian woman to win the Hawaii Ironman and get the silver medal in Sydney Olympics. So you do... certainly, in some ways, in our race, in the vision impaired race, it's like having a race statistician by your side, because all you have to do is pretty much head down, you know, all out effort sort of thing, and they're the one that's tactically racing it for you, because obviously you're limited with what you can see. So McKeely's very good at just sort of putting me where I need to be in the race, but obviously she can only go as fast as I can go. But certainly on the ride is where you'll get your biggest advantage from a guide who can strategically kind of know where you need to push harder or hold back. And but yes, she has me at vomit levels often, and she gets that extra like 5-10% out of me every time. I've had some brutal racing and training sessions with her, yes. But I love it. You know, it's a real challenge. Sometimes I'm thinking, oh, what the heck am I doing this for? This hurts. But it's all part of it.
And that whole idea that misery loves company. So probably the fact that you're suffering alongside someone that understands exactly where you are.
I think another driver for me in motivation, well, not necessarily motivation, but I've got a lot of reasons to do this, but I never want to let her down, and I never want her to think that I'm not putting in. And so that's certainly something that, you know, when you're really at your maximum level, you know, gives me that little bit of something to hang on there, you know, because I certainly don't want to, you know, any perception that I'm not giving it my all. And I think I've managed to do that most of the time, which is good.
Now that you have your gold medal, what is on the horizon for Katie Kelly?
Well, it's another big year this year. I've got a new coach, Dan Atkins. He's based at the Gold Coast in Queensland. He's got some exceptional developing athletes, juniors, some of the best in Australia. And he's on the high performance program for Triathlon Australia. So I'm really excited to be working with him. And I still do have the big goal of Hawaii Ironman. It's the big thing that I'd love to do. And Dan and I had a chat about it, and we think that after Rio, it's probably, let's just hold that off a little longer. And so we're just focusing on the, and not just like a massive task, but the World Championships in Rotterdam are in September this year. I didn't get to do the World Champs last year because of Rio. So my first World Champs was 2015 in Chicago, which we managed to win. So I'd love to get back there for the World Champs in September this year. So McKeely's on board again, and she's actually coming to Australia in the next few days, and we're doing 2 weeks training in the Gold Coast. So I've got my Sufferfest kit ready to roll, and give it a good crack.
So on that subject, did you happen to have a favorite Sufferfest video?
Oh, I do. I think when I do a longer session, I love Local Hero. You do the 3 by 6 minute sort of build efforts and back down, and then it's got like 5 lots of 3 minute efforts, and then it finishes off with the sprints of 2 minutes. And then the other one is Downward Spiral. I love that one. And for me, like I use them a lot when I don't have, you know, the coach gives me a bit of flexibility sometimes, and you know, they're fantastic because I have to do a lot of wind trainer sessions, so I get a lot out of them. And A Very Dark Place is another one. I just did that one this morning, actually. I hadn't done that one for a while. So,
well, Katie Kelly, you are a tremendous inspiration, and we are so happy to get the opportunity to talk to you, and we are very excited to see what you're going to be doing this year. And congratulations on the Sports Access Foundation, and we wish you much luck in that endeavor.
Thank you, and to all the Sufferlanders out there, train hard.
Katie Kelly, Paralympic gold medalist in the triathlon, all-around badass, founder of the Sports Access Foundation. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much, Dylan.
This has been Everybody Hurts the Podcast, coming to you from the Nine Hammers Tavern in beautiful Agonia, Sufferlandria. Today's episode brought to you by The Best Way is Blended Whiskey. The Best Way is Blended Whiskey, the only whiskey that puts hair on your chamois. Until next time, have you suffered today? Yes, more than you.